don't know her.
This is the podcast I Don't Know Her, Culture and Trends, the podcast that uses pop culture as an excuse to discuss trends. At each episode, we receive a guest from the world of music, literature, or entertainment to talk about their experiences and discuss cultural objects that point to trends in lifestyle and behavior. And to stay updated, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at IDKH Podcast, at IDKH Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the I Don't Know Her podcast, the podcast where we are intending to pop the bubbles and bring you more information about some artists or records or books or movies or series or anything that is out there. Maybe you don't know because we don't have the right access to this. So we are here to present you some new and great artists and bring you some new material for you to consume, culture speaking. And I have here with me, I'm Leandro Tavares, I'm your host, and I have here with me my co-host. Hello, Babs.
Hi everyone. I've been friends with Leandro for a while now, like over 10 years, I think. Had our postgrad in translation together, but I still work in it. Actually, I'm the only one from that time that still works.
Yeah, I gave up. Yeah.
Well, you do a very good job at what you do. So it was a great move for you. That's it. Like, I translate. I love mostly the same things as Leandro and maybe a bit more because I'm a bit like all things creative. But Leandro is the one who does the research and finds some new great things for us. So I'm always paying attention to his podcast.
Oh, thank you.
And now in English as well.
And now in English, because if you're listening to this right now, we have a lot of episodes, but all in Portuguese because I'm Brazilian, as Babs, she's also Brazilian. We are living in Portugal. And we have a lot of episodes talking with a lot of Brazilian and Portuguese artists. And now we have our first guest, Singaporean and now United States habitant. Great artist and the cutest and the hottest. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Wills!
Hello, everybody! Hello, thank you so much for having me here. It's a great pleasure, and I'm just so grateful for right in this moment.
No, I'm so happy for you to accept this. And just for you know, we started this podcast in English because of you.
Oh,
exactly. There's you.
You're doing so good. Thank you. You're doing so good.
Yeah.
So, Wills, tell to our audience, who is Wills? So,
Wills is a Singaporean singer who was dropped by his record label for being gay. He was performing in front of 44,000 people in Singapore. He performed in Taiwan.
Wow.
Philippines. He performed in New York, LA, Vegas, and last year, Wills decided that he wants to be authentic about his sexuality, and so I came out of the closet last year, and I told my record label that, you know, I'm gay, and in Asia, it's not a very openly accepted thing to be gay, and in you know, the music industry. And so my record label is like, no, I don't think that's going to work, you know, because like nobody's going to accept a gay artist. And so they unfortunately dropped me from the record label. And now I'm independent and authentic and doing music and art that I love that is as me and no longer as someone else that wasn't me. Yeah.
Yeah, that is really great and really inspiring. And are you also writing your own songs?
Yes, I am.
Whoa, that's great. That's great. I think there's some things that we want to discuss about your songs. Also, I was talking with Babi. We have some comments and insights about it.
I was paying attention to your lyrics today. I was listening to everything and looking for lyrics. And it's a shame in a way that there aren't more lyrics for your songs online. Right. I'm not sure if you would be willing to, like, I don't know, send them to us so that we can upload them to these lyrics websites or something.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, that's so nice of you. It means a lot to me that you are.
It would be great for people to have access to that.
Yeah, like, totally. Did you never cross your ways through Mariah Carey in Vegas?
I actually kind of did. My childhood friend who's a biggest, like, really loves Mariah, and he's like diehard. I'm not sure if he's as diehard as you. I don't know. You guys probably have to be like,
I doubt it.
Right.
Him already.
Yeah. Okay, I'll introduce you guys together, and you can talk about.
Yeah.
And then he there was once he was like, you know, he was going through a very difficult time with his family, and for him, like, Mariah's songs are the songs that lift him up and give him hope. And so he was like, we were in LA, and he's like, let's drive to Vegas. I want to go watch a Mariah Carey concert. And I was like, when? He was like, today. Let's go. I already bought your tickets. And I was like, are you?
Whoa.
Yeah. So, like, in the morning, we drove all the way to Vegas, and then we saw Mariah, and she was like about two rows down. Like, when she walked into the audience, and my friend was just like almost fainted. And I was like,
get your
Yeah. It was so nice. She, oh my God, her live voice is insane. Like, the voice that she has, and like when you hear it live, and you just go, wait a minute, are you serious? You know, it's so good.
I went to some concert here in Europe, but I was frustrated because there's no time that she walks through the audience like in Vegas, because I was waiting, expecting her to go down the stage and walk through the people, but she's just stayed in the stage, but.
Wait, this was in Vegas?
This is only in Vegas. Only in Vegas she does it.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So, because normally she does a walk. Oh no, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad for you. Oh shit.
Well, now I have to go to Vegas to see both Mariah and you.
Right, yeah. Aww. I'm sure you, I hope you get the experience to see her like walk really close to you the next time around.
Yeah.
Or if I ever find a chance to, I'll let you guys know.
Maybe he won't see her walking, but maybe he'll see Mariah carried by someone. See what I did there?
Exactly. Maybe like with a fan or something, right? On the side, like fanning.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And guys, by the way, I have here in the audience my husband. Say hello, João.
Hello.
Hi. Oh my God, your husband has such a cute voice.
Yeah.
I am cute, darling.
Yeah. Yes, you are. It's so cute. It's like, so like, I want to hug you when I hear your voice.
Yeah. He's the cutest. You are the second most cute person in the earth because he's the cutest. You know?
I'm glad you said the right thing, or else. You know, you're like, divorce. I'm kidding. Is he like that in person? Like, when you guys are together, is he always like so, like, so
yeah, totally. I don't know how to say he's Aryan, the astrological Aries. The astrological sign. So he has his temper also, but he's the nicest most of the time.
Pretty shy at first. You have to take some time to get to know him, and then he'll be like, larger than life, but
it's
a little bit to get to know him.
Right,
but it kind of works with Leandro, because Leandro's like always laughing really loud and everyone's looking at him.
Yeah, and then I'm a fucking Libra. I'm a Dor Delano, you know.
Oh, you're a Libra?
I'm a Libra.
I love Libras. Like my very, very, very close friend is a Libra.
And what are you, Wolf?
I'm a Sagittarius.
Okay, so we're all different.
Yes,
I'm a Leo, so we're all different.
Oh, you're Leo. My sister is a Leo.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's good or not, but I hope so.
Oh yeah, you guys are so like you're very you're like a leader, right? You like to you like you have a lot of courage to stand for what you believe in.
Right? Oh yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
When you said you're a Sagittarius, Wills, my husband said, "Oh, so nice," because his best friends are Sagittarius.
It's interesting because I don't know, like I think I read my fortune or horoscope like a couple of years ago, and they said that you know you have like the sun sign and you have the rising sign or something, the moon sign or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So like my moon is like a or rising is like a the Cancer sign. So It's so interesting because like I'm always like yes I'm very I might seem like I'm very outgoing, but actually when I'm like my internal self, I'm actually a very like quiet and low
emotional.
Yes.
Kind of dramatic sometimes.
Yes. Oh my god, bring me that gin and tonic.
Probably like the feeling of having a family around you, making a family wherever you are, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, like I like to feel like harmonious, and I like to feel in a place that's safe and nurturing, and people can be themselves, and they don't have to, you know. There's just the freedom of living and enjoying life, and so that's why I became a singer, because I want to create that environment for people to feel safe and be themselves and be happy and all the good stuff.
Oh, so beautiful. Yeah. and just for you know, also João is an illustrator, so he's right now illustrating the cover of the episode. So every time we start recording, he starts to draw something that he takes as an inspiration artwork as a cover of the episode.
Wow. So like what he gets inspired from what he hears, and then he has an image in his mind. And then that's really nice. That's a true artist, everyone. That is a true artist.
So let's start our next block, that is the overview of 2021. We are now in a new year.
Yay!
Yay, finally! And I'll give opportunity for you to tell a little bit of what have you been consuming in terms of culture. So what songs have you been listening, or books have you been reading, or series have you been watching?
I've been listening to a lot of electronic dance music. Mm-hmm. Just because I've always loved dancing since I was a kid. I remember I remember when I was at my aunt's like event, and you know you're supposed to be in a club, but you cannot be inside unless you're 21 years old. So I was inside dancing and illegally, and I came out and I lost all my shoes at the age of like I think it was 8 or 12. But then I was like just dancing. I've always liked dancing. So recently, I did too. Right. Because like it's so freeing, and you can just like let loose all of your body I can't describe dancing. It just makes me so happy. So I've been listening to a lot of electronic dance, and then I've been listening to this artist called Steve Bryan, and he his songs are so happy. Like the melodies and his riffs, his instruments are just. It's so lifting. When I hear it, I get so happy. It reminds me when I'm a child again. And then listening to this band called The Arizona. And they are like this lead singer. He has such a beautiful, sexy and calming voice. And it's just so relaxing to hear his voice. Go check it out. Like when you hear it, it's so soothing. It soothes your soul when you just hear the sounds and his voice, and he's the way he just like really like easily just pronounce little words without effort.
Is it Arizona all caps?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One of my favorite songs from them is called I Was Wrong. And it's a song about saying that, you know, it's like, I'm sorry. And I feel like in the world right now, everybody is like, it's like going through really difficult times. And like this song helps you to soften up. It's like, you know, you're sorry maybe for being too hard on yourself or too hard on other people. You know, like I think this song just makes you feel like it's okay to soften up again. with movies. I haven't watched a lot of movies lately, but I watched Wonder Woman the other day. The 84.
The 84. What did you think about it?
I like it a lot. I think it's the message behind it. It's so kind. It's like it. I know a lot of people, like a lot of friends who are not happy about it because they're like, oh, it's too cheesy. I get it. But seeing it from the point of view of just artistry, I feel like it's such a nice way of sharing like kind messages to the kids in the world. Like, and sometimes for adults to receive like nice and kind messages, it's very cheesy. But when you really just see it from the view of like it's something that people, they want to make the world a better place. It's actually nice. What do you think about it though? And yeah, give it a try, give it a go. And it's so colorful. I love colors.
Same here.
I'm still gay. I'm a colorful gay.
I love colors because you can see by my hair, which is
What color is your hair?
It's currently pink, like a myriad of different shades of pinks.
Oh wow.
It was purple until last year.
Yeah, it's been purple and pink and orange,
all the very bright colors. That's really nice.
Yeah, I was thinking about dyeing it blue, but then blue turns to green, and I have to be sure of it because it takes forever to wash out.
You have to
commit to blue. Blue is like a marriage or something. Like, I'm not ready for that.
I can't imagine you without your colored hair anymore.
And you met me then.
Yeah, who's that?
Met me with my natural hair, so.
Who's that?
Exactly.
I don't know her.
I don't know her.
I don't know her. I don't know me.
That's so funny.
I have now my first, I don't know how to say it in English, maybe weak, mesh, white in my hair because I'm getting some gray hair.
Yeah, the wisdom. You're getting the wisdom hair.
Exactly.
The silver fox.
The silver fox.
Yeah. Am I allowed to call you a silver daddy?
Maybe. I think I'm on this age.
Silver daddy!
By the way, how old are you, Wills?
I'm 32.
Oh, so we're not that far apart.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I can call you a daddy. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
No, I can't call you a daddy then. No. Everybody, you did not just hear that. I'm hiding my face in the pillow right now. Oh, my God. Guys, everybody who's listening, so I was given a gin and tonic before this podcast. This is where we're at. So
now it's cocktail hour. We're having a chat.
Yes, exactly.
Life is great.
I'll have to take my wine, darling, now.
I'll take two of that. I'm just kidding.
Auntie Bobs, what have you been listening these days, watching or whatever?
My train of thought gets lost very easily lately because of the amount of work I've been getting. So I've been watching like Judge Judy episodes that are on YouTube or things like that. Nice. I don't have to pay a lot of attention to, but music wise, I've been listening a lot of Michael Kiwanuka. I just love him to death. Chaim and Rosalia, Chet Faker, things like that. But like what you can always find in my playlist lately is lo-fi hip hop, because it's nice and easy, and there's usually no lyrics. So if I want to pay attention to work, there's not much to distract me. It's just the nice and easy sounds. It's sort of like not elevator music, but a very good lounge music.
Lounge music, yeah.
Yeah, it gets me in the mood to work, but not too, like, I don't get stressed with the sounds, and like, it's not too.
Yeah, it's like in the background, but not overpowering, like, your.
Yeah, exactly. That's like my go-to music now. It's lo-fi hip-hop, either for chatting with people, because No lyrics. It doesn't. Well, you can get distracted when you're talking to people because there's no lyrics. So, and the same with work.
I can say on my side that it's not because of you are here, Reels, because I've said this in previous episodes, but This Is It is my song of the moment. I'm so addicted to this song. It's great.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Not only because of the lyrics, because I like to be to recognize myself in the lyrics and see that I'm being represented by some other gay man in the industry, but also because of the rhythm and the melody is so addictive. And it's the first time I've heard it. It kept the, on my mind. I kept singing it and singing along when I hear it. So I sing in the bath. So it's my background song right now.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Thank you. When I wrote that song, I was driving the car. I think it was like 5 months ago. It wasn't released yet. I was hearing it at maybe 3 a.m. in the morning. And I was just thinking, I hope that when this song goes out, it will help to, you know, make people feel the feelings that I felt, you know, hearing the sounds of it. It was very like lifting and it takes you to another place. And now that you share that with me, it makes me feel like, you know, like my dreams.
But it's mad. True.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it's true. It's totally uplifting and a good, it's a good spirit song. It's a good spirited song. I think that's what I mean.
And that's probably what we needed at this time in, you know, in life.
Yeah, I mean, this is a crazy fucking, sorry, am I allowed to curse here?
Yeah, you can, no problem.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't say that word. No, this is a fucking difficult time in life, isn't it? It's like for all of us.
Yeah, totally.
It's so weird. It's such a weird time, and everybody's like facing their own internal struggle at this time. I don't know. Like, what have you guys been trying to like? What have you learned from this experience so far? You know, these 2 years, do you guys learn anything for yourself?
Yeah, I think on my side, being at home, first of all, and then learning to deal with a lot of different views from people that I didn't imagine have this so retrograde and conservative and maybe so hateful. I think it was really a time for me to look into myself, look inside of me and discover what I am, in fact, what kind of people I have around me, what kind of environment I want to build, and then think what I can do, in fact, to contribute to make the world a better place. So I have to maybe learn to talk with people, learn to not be hateful, learn to answer something hateful with something nice and constructive. That's what I've been trying to learn during these days,
That's so nice. It made my hair stand when you said that.
It doesn't work, right? Being loving with hateful people doesn't always work, but more often than not, it's going to get a better response than being hateful back at them. It's
That's true. But
if we're not going to let go of our opinion and our beliefs, because we're not, at least we can be loving about it and understand and try to understand where the other person comes from and why they feel the way they feel, why they think and support what they do. I don't think we'll understand them all the time, but at least can try to get what happened in their lives so that they will be like that, you know?
That's actually a really very intelligent way of looking at things, because I feel like a lot of times people are the way they are because of the way they grew up and their experiences that they put in their life to make them a certain way. And so it's you know, when you're loving and kind to them, it gives them, you know, even if they might not react the perfect way, maybe they'll react to you angrily or anything. At least it makes them think about, oh, wait, like, wow, there's actually something like, why is that person nice to me? You know, it gives them a little thought of hope, even no matter how they take it, but at least it makes them think, oh, wait, why is he being, is he, that's nice, you know, like deep inside themselves.
I think it's something related to alterity, because something that a friend of mine sent this year, last year to me, that I saved, and I thought that it was the word that I had to work inside of me, alterity. I have to have the ability to put myself in another place, another person's shoe, and walk their walk and think what they lived and what they...
At least try. And most of these people we like fight against, sort of, they don't really do that. But if we're mean to them, or if we behave the same way they do, it's only caused them to be more stubborn and more like they're not going to open up at any point if
that's true. Behave the same way.
Mm-hmm. So if they see us behaving differently, being loving, being understanding, maybe they'll open up and talk about things, and maybe, just maybe, we can change their minds on some points of view that they have. If not, at least we get to know people better.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's maybe I should go to psychology or something. Be a I don't know.
Yes.
If all fails, I'll be like a counselor or some sort. I don't know. Something that I really learned on this past year is that, well, my lifestyle was actually called quarantine before, because I work at
home. You didn't notice when the quarantine started, because
not much. But what changed is that I had more time, as everyone else did, because I didn't get to go like shopping on the supermarket or things like that. We did everything online. So I actually had more time, and I caught myself doing the same thing that I used to do before, is just getting more work and more work. And at some point I was completely burnt out. And it doesn't matter how much money you have in your bank account, how much work you've done, if you're not healthy and happy, like not only physically but mentally, to enjoy what you work for.
That's so beautiful, Babs. Like, this is exactly what it's all about now, because I feel like after, you know, the whole COVID thing in the past year, I think it's exactly what you say. It's to remind people that, you know, you're chasing your dreams, you're chasing, you know, you're trying to earn more, you're trying to do more and more and more. Like, our society is always about like earn more and do more, right? But that's not the important. The important thing is you're living and you're breathing, you're experiencing, you're feeling, you're touching, you're all of these stuff. It's like, that's the real thing. You get what I mean? Like, this is the
when
time
you get to feel like you can be more and do more for yourself and others. It's so much better than like making more money, you know, because and it's important to make money as well. But I took some time, like right in the beginning of the pandemics, I was in India and I had to rush back home because I went for like a month offline there. And I came with a different mindset. I thought, let's see what I like, because I lost myself in work. And like, you know, when you try to be who you're not, but not exactly.
Like, of course, this is work. You know, like, there's a certain thing that you have to do to,
trying to make people happy, you kind of get lost. You don't know who you are anymore. So, let's just see what I like. I'll try like drawing classes and like all of these online classes.
Wow, this is beautiful, Babs. It's like you're telling people to take away from like filling your reservoir up with the things that makes you happy. And when you treat yourself and you're kind to yourself, that you love, then it will transmit, you know, to the work that you do, or it's you know, it will take away the edge of the work, because that's not the focus. The focus is taking care of yourself and being nice to yourself and loving to yourself and kind to yourself. That's nice.
My dog was barking at the back so loudly, and I was like, please don't record this. Thank God for that.
No worries.
It's okay. Maybe
it's part of the conversation. It's a bark conversation. A dog can bark.
That's true. You definitely bring a dog to the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
So I've been reading this book. Yeah, it's called The Proven Power of Being Kind to Yourself. And this book is about self-compassion. And, you know, it's so interesting because it's easy for us to be compassionate to other people. Like, you know, be nice to other people, be kind. But then sometimes when it comes to ourselves, it's actually more difficult to be kinder because it's just like the way you were brought up. And well, at least for me, because like I'm always really very hard for myself, like I'm very harsh with myself. I'm always trying to work harder. I'm always trying to make better songs and write, you know, deeper lyrics. And then I realized that I'm driving myself to a wall that you keep trying to be better, that you forget to live in the moment. And you never recognize that the moment is what is beautiful and flawed. And so I, you know, a lot of times when I was writing songs, I would always think like, oh.
It's like that lyric that says, life is what happens to you when you're busy making other plans. It's
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like I always felt like, oh, my lyrics were not good enough. And I would spend hours and days and I would spend like weeks. And then I realized like that's if I have that mentality and I'm so hard on myself for writing songs, then I won't find the joy to create truthful songs from my heart. And so this book, what I really got out that I really want everybody to, you know, be able to, you know, take away from is that the first thing is if you ever make a mistake, like it's always nice to just not be so, just lean into it and say, okay, yeah, that happened. And talk to yourself.
Part of the growth process, you know, we have to make mistakes and learn with this.
Yeah, exactly. And it's if you offer yourself softness, nurturing, loving, you actually loving sense of energy, you actually realize that life is really quite sentimental. You know, it's like you don't have to try more or less.
Beauty on this, because when you talked about your lyrics, I remember the book, The Meaning of Mariah Carey. It's a great book. Even if you are not a fan, it's a great reading if you're into the music industry, because she describes a little bit of what she's been living inside of the industry with a lot of people like Prince, Whitney Houston, George Michael. They are not here anymore to tell their stories. So it's a great insight. And she tells a lot of her process of writing songs. And one of the things that she said is that there are songs that she started to write, and it takes like 10 years until the song is ready. So it's a process, because maybe she doesn't have the maturity to tell what she's willing to tell at that moment when she started. But then out of the sudden, sometime when she remembered the songs, it comes to her some way to tell that story. And then she can come back to the lyric and then finish the lyric. So
that's so beautiful. It's just nothing ever goes to waste.
Yeah, exactly.
And one lesson that we can take from that, and it's something I've talked about in therapy, is that it doesn't matter how long it takes for you to work on an issue or on something that like that you need to work on psychologically, emotionally. Sometimes you're not ready to deal with it now. But it's a work in progress. While you work in other things, that's going to be there, and you're getting more mature to deal with that thing that is maybe the harshest or the heaviest or the most difficult thing in your
life. That's true. Don't you guys think that? It's almost like you always feel you look back when you're in your younger days and you're like, oh, I used to be, you know, so upset over this. And now you look at it and you're like, no, that's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
It makes no sense anymore. Like, it's so...
Yeah. You learn to give priority to what is really important.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about this before we started, like about how it was to grow up in Singapore and being gay and everything, like, because not only We were raised at a time when things started to get better in the world, like generally, but not everywhere in the world. So seeing how being gay was more accepted in some places, but not there, how did that affect you? How did you feel with that? Like knowing that maybe being somewhere else, you would be able to be yourself.
But because it's literally illegal to be LGBTQI in Singapore, right?
Well, this is very interesting because there is a law that criminalizes men for having sex with men in Singapore. And but the funny thing is there are gay clubs now and they're gay. You know, there's even like a pride thing that's going on. But the law is still there because the, you know, conservative groups of people don't believe, you know, in sex between, I mean, like, you know, homosexuality. And so even though it's not practiced by law, a lot of LGBT kids have been unfortunately raped and, you know, like touched and they can't do anything about it. They can't tell the police because they're worried about being, you know, go to jail or they'll have any problems with their family.
Because the law is still there.
Damn. Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of abuse of that because, like, I've heard stories of women, lesbian women, being, you know, abused by men, and they can't share their stories, and they live for the rest of their lives feeling like unsafe. You know, there's just no safety net for them. So I feel that it's very unhealthy for LGBT kids growing up because you don't feel safe.
Yeah, you don't get to be yourself. Plus. If something happens, you have to just take it as if, like, whoever abuses you has no punishment, has no law against them. Like, there's a law against you, but you are the one who had a crime committed against. You didn't do anything.
Right. Exactly.
No, you're being punished twice or three times for just being you.
It's a very interesting way of growing up because, like, I never... Because you always find people, you know, talking about, like, the way people, or at least the way I grew up with, like, people view gay people as, like, they were, like, very negative. It's a very, very negative, you know, stereotype. And, you know, I, in order not to be hurt, you know, my friends or, like, family, because I didn't want them to know who I was and I didn't know how to deal with it, I had to hide my sexuality for so many years of my life. Mm-hmm. And when you're hiding, like when you're in, you know, constant every day of your life, I was singing, you know, I was performing under a different artist name and, you know, exposed to thousands of people, but not being yourself and feeling like each person that you meet, you're living a lie and pushing yourself away mm-hmm. furthermore. That's like, it drove me to a point where I was like, if I don't come out and be myself, in this life, I'm not going to be happy anymore. And there's no point. You get what I mean? Like, there's no point living. I have to be myself and break free from all the fears and the way I was brought up and remember how to love again.
Yeah, so since we already started, let's know more about wheels. So continuing on this topic, your identity costed you your music career, not only in Singapore, but in Asia. And you were dropped by the record label, as you said. And what did you do after that? How was your transition? How did you end up in the USA?
First, I called the record label and I was like, you motherfuckers. I'm just kidding. Sorry, I didn't do that. That was just, you know, I'm joking. So it's interesting because in America, I discovered that I could be myself. And I discovered that, wow, it's like you have the freedom to just be you. And so my art, I rediscovered my art. That means I used to sing about, you know, the way the record label wants me to sing, like they would put in the lyrics or, like, you know, they would put in things that
you didn't have the opportunity to write your songs there.
I do, but they always change it. It's like if I say, for example, if I wanted to sing... songs in my heart is about a man, right?
Yeah.
So I would say, let's say I say,
the lyrics "I love you," they would change it to "I love her." I love her. So, and then that goes against, like, you know, I love women, but it's in a different way, right? So they will always change all my lyrics to cater for her, like women, like the women crowd and audience, and so I felt like I can never be myself just because I couldn't sing, like, you know, the truth. And so I went to America and I looked up a friend and I was like, hey, I just came out of the closet and I want to record a music video that's about two men being openly freeing in public. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, I've never done it before. I'm so scared. But I think it's going to help a lot of underrepresented kids, LGBT kids in Asia, when they see that, to say, oh my God, finally, like, it's okay to be me. Someone does that. Because I didn't have a LGBT role model growing up. I never knew how to be myself. And so I wanted that for the people that are the kids who don't have a representation. So we did that music video, and then surprisingly, like, a lot of mainstream media that are not supportive of LGBT, they have people working in there that are LGBT individuals, but they are secretly, so they all shared my stories. I'm a gay man with a sore throat. I wonder, what did I get?
I can imagine.
Yeah, right. Should I go see my doctor tomorrow? I'm just kidding. A lot of people, like, in the industry that were against gays were actually gays themselves, and they started writing to me on my new Instagram, and they were like, "Hey, I just want you to know, you know, thank you for being you. We could never be ourselves because of, you know, society, and it's too late to be ourselves, but we're going to live through you, and we're going to make, like, little things, like little steps to help to bring your message across in the media."
And this is from other countries, like from Singapore and Asia or US?
Singapore in Asia.
Whoa, great.
Yeah. So
at the same time, it's very, like, humbling and nice to hear that, but it's sad also because they are still not living their true selves. True.
Isn't that sad that you can't share what you love with your family? Like,
yeah,
the basic human life is about love, you know, harmony, family. You came to this world through a family, right? It's like, why cut the part about love? Like, why, you know, it's so. You know, all these media outlets started to share my stuff. Like, they go against their, you know, company's stuff and policy, and they started sharing. And then there was, like, a backlash of people who were very unhappy about, like, why would they share gay news? You know, this is, like, Singapore, like, you faggots, and get away from the country. This is so disgusting. But then at the heart of the most important matter is that, you know, the people who are trying just to be accepted in to be loved in the public, they're trying to do something about it. You get what I mean? Like, people are trying.
Yeah.
So, and you inspired, nice to see, them to be more open and try to do that for themselves as well. Because
they
finally feel represented, so that's amazing. You must get a lot of love from that as well.
Yeah, I do, and it's what makes me go on. It's what makes me want to make music and want to connect, because I know that there's this sense of people who want to be loved.
And when did you start your relationship with music? Because you are an artist and you express yourself through your lyrics. But when did you start to find the musical way for you to express yourself?
When I was 13 years old, I was in a school. And there was a talent competition. Someone nominated and put my name in the competition, and I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And
someone that didn't know that you were a singer.
I was not a singer then, back then.
Not even in the bathroom singer. Not
no, I would crack the bathroom mirror if I sang.
I doubt that.
I was a class clown, like you, Babs, and like I'm a clown, you know, like I always like to make jokes, and my classmates put me in a talent contest, and it was a singing contest, and they you have to go on stage. So it comes to my class, they were like, okay, let's go, like it's your turn. And they pointed at me, and I was like, wait, me? I didn't sign up for this. And then they were like, yeah, like your class, you know, you have your name in the talent contest. So I went on stage, and there was a karaoke machine, and I put a song that I know, and I started singing, and everybody was laughing so hard because it was so horrible. and then I was like, oh man, this is so embarrassing, but if I can sing and make people laugh, what if I try to sing and make people cry? Like, I wonder if that happens. So the next year, I started learning how to play the guitar. And the next year for the talent contest, I signed up and I put my name in there. I went up on stage again, and my class were all laughing. They were like, oh, he's going to do something stupid again. And then I sang the song Cannonball by Damien Rice. And,
I love
and
that everybody, song.
I love it. It's so nice. It's so it's one of my favorite songs of all time. And my people started crying, and I was like, okay, you know, if music is the one that allows me to help people feel a certain way, then I feel like this is my life path, because I've always been about feelings, and I've always been about communicating feelings, and I want people that I cross my path with to be able to connect with their feelings and be comfortable about it. And so I started, you know, doing music since then.
I was listening to Open Up.
Yeah.
And I just got stuck in the sentence, a river streaming through the roughest places.
Yes.
And that made me think of, I had to look for the saying in English, because I remembered one in Portuguese, and it's like, water dripping day by day wears the hardest rock away.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was thinking about like how we think of water as something so malleable and flexible, kind of like, you know, because, and you have to be, because of so many hard things in the world to deal with, and you have to be flexible to navigate everything. But
yes,
at the same time, you know, all of those rough places that your river was streaming through, you can kind of shape them as well, because water has this power. If you're resilient and
yes,
like never give up being yourself, you end up molding, like shaping things around you. You know, you're not
that's
the one.
Exactly. It's almost like when I wrote this lyrics, is because it's I feel like we're all people trying to go through life and find, you know, find things that make sense to us, a purpose that makes us happy. And sometimes when we go through the roughest places, like a river streaming through it, the harder it is that you're going through life, the roughest it is, like that you're getting, it's like it's so harsh on you, you feel so beaten down, you feel very really sad. It's when you should be the kindest, like a river, like a you flow through it. So you're nice to yourself. So the harder it is, you should be, the softer you are. That's, yeah.
No, all of these feelings and all of your true self that cannot be contained, because if you try to just contain the passage of a river, it's going to overflow at some point. It's going to break the barriers, you know? You cannot
hide
it. You can't.
That's true.
It's going to find a way. You know,
yeah.
We were discussing before we start the recording about another song.
Yeah,
we were discussing about Tinder. I said, because
what's your profile?
Because
because we were talking about the empty, the song. Babis was talking about how she was referring as someone that maybe is too shallow and make you feel empty because of those verses. Like when you say, "Why am I looking for the wrong kind of fun in a dark place? Why do I keep on coming back to for more? It's an empty space." So it's like this universe when we only see the bodies, the package, and we don't see
sometimes we insist on that, like we keep coming back. We insist on being with people that have no true meaning to us. We just want to be with someone. It's like a way to kill the feeling of being lonely. But it makes it worse. It makes you feel even more lonely afterwards.
Like, yes, because you realize like you're not like giving yourself the truth.
You have no feelings for kind of sucks your energy out.
It really does.
It leaves you empty. So that's something that like caught me right away when I listened to the song as well. Like being single is so hard nowadays, especially in the pandemic. But it's actually, in a way, it's a good thing because we're gonna think twice before we actually go see someone because we don't want to get exposed. And maybe that's a way of controlling a little bit more how much we invest in people, in the wrong people, maybe.
And just another question about another song, Wills, because we don't find your all your lyrics on the internet, but we'll take this, we'll fix this issue.
I have no idea.
But there's a song that I really love. The Be With You, the first song of our last album, that when you sing the chorus for the second time, I wanna be with you, I wanna be with you, and then you start to sing in the background a kind of rap, but I can't hear it exactly. What do you sing? What is the lyric?
Let me kind of like go to. So it's like take me back to the times we had so much fun because we ain't no holding back. Basically the bridge talks about, please take me back to the times when we were so having so much fun, when we were ourselves and we're not holding back of being who we are. You know how sometimes when you're in love and you're not thinking about, you're just being in the moment and just being yourself and being happy about it. It's no more, no less. I want to be in the happy part of our relationship again. You know, like, please take me there.
I don't know if you know MNK, the singer, British singer. MNK. It's M-N-E-K.
M-N-E-K.
He's kind of underground, and he has a song that is Tongue, the name of the song. And it remembered of this melody a little bit, so I thought you had some kind of influence from him. But it's nice to know that you have this kind of melody already in you.
Yeah, that's so interesting because, like, you know, also sometimes, like, when it comes to writing songs, you never know, like, if it sounds like someone else's until it's, you get what I mean? Like, that has happened to me before. I wrote this song, it's called Back to Life. And then I think it was the bridge part. And then Taylor Swift came up with, I can't remember which other song, but I heard it. I was like, oh my God, it sounds just like my song. But I was like, that's so cool. It's like so cool. We've never heard each other's stuff, but you just have it, you know, like you create it out of it and it sounds like it's quite synchronized. I like that.
You know, my mom usually says that ideas are around, just like floating around. And it's not something that is exclusive to you. So if you really want it to be, you have to patent things and everything. But it can happen, like the same idea, the same melody, the same kind of thing in a bunch of people's heads, and you're only going to find out once it's out there.
Right. I'm going to check out this song. It's M-N-E-K, and then...
M-N-E-K, exactly, and the song is Tongue.
Tongue?
Okay. Tongue, exactly. The video is great. You should watch the video also.
Okay, thank you.
What are your inspirations, Wills? What are other artists that inspired you to sing and write?
Coldplay. Like, Coldplay is, like, I would say, out of, like, out of all the artists that I love, like, Coldplay is my number one because it's so interesting because I think generally I always kind of write, like, emotional and sad stuff, right?
And Coldplay is super emotional.
Yeah, but they know how to turn it into a happy thing. Like,
yeah, you know, exactly. I mean? It's a happy emotional.
Yeah, so it's like seeing like your sadness with a form of like happiness. You get what I mean? Like, it's so bittersweet. Like okay, this is a hard.
Every teardrop is a waterfall.
Yes!
This is super emotional. It's super happy.
I know. It's like turning your sadness into something beautiful. Like, that's just what I have been like so inspired by. I hope one day I'll get to meet them in person. I'll be like fangirling.
Maybe the future in the future. Who knows?
I'll cross my fingers.
It would be great.
Let's hope for that because I want to see that. And it's very nice to have this idea that you talked about, talking about the sadness in a joyful way, sort of. And it's very nice to have that approach to life in general, because I think people are so over like huge dramas and huge sadness. We must be able to talk about bad things in a lighter way, you know?
Yes, that's how we all relate, right? We all go through bad stuff.
Exactly. Like, life is already so heavy on us.
Exactly.
So let's just be light and free about
discussing
our...
Let's be light. That is a great sentence. I will use this. Let's be light.
Let's be light. I love that.
And
What if I wrote that in my next song? Can I do that?
Yeah, it would be a great song. Let's be light.
Let's be light. Let's eat less.
Oh my God, we are inspiring wheels.
Yes, you are. Of course. No, I'm serious. I'm actually writing a song now. Remember I mentioned to you my favorite artist that I heard called Steve Bryan.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's my favorite of all that, like, EDM, and I wrote to him. I wrote to him on Instagram. I was like, hey. I share with him my story. You know, I came out of the closet and the record label dropped me. I really fucking love your music. Do you think, like, is there any way that we can work together? And he was like, yeah, let's get on the call. And I'm working with my dream come true fucking like DJ, and I want to put this lyric in there. Let's be light.
That's great.
Let's be light. Okay.
You know, that has like a bunch of different meanings, because we were talking about approaching things in a lighter way, not so heavy about it, but there's also light, as in light shining.
Which is what I love.
To be a good influence to the world.
Bright light. Yeah, shining bright light with the stars.
Yeah. Oh, you know, he's writing right now.
I'm not writing right now. Yeah. Everybody wrote that, so. I don't have good ideas.
I want to be light. I am light.
If you want to be light, just eat salad for breakfast.
Yeah. Oh, no, in this way, I think it's kind of sad to be light.
No steak for you. No steak. No pork.
No problem on no steak, no eating steaks, but my problem is with sugar. I need sugar.
Oh my God,
I need my cake.
Oh my God. You like sweet stuff?
Yeah. Totally. What are your plans right now, Rose? Yeah. Because we are talking about songs and maybe a partnership with Coldplay in the future. But right now, what are your immediate plans for 2021?
I'm working with another LGBT artist in Taiwan. And I'm doing a Chinese song because I want to be able to influence our LGBT acceptance in the Chinese culture.
That's so nice.
Yeah, so it's the first time I'm doing it in Chinese. My background, I'm a Chinese Singaporean, and then my mom's Taiwanese. But I think it's time for me to use the language of my mom in order to really make a difference for the Chinese speaking culture.
Yeah.
With, you know, two gay artists talking about singing about freedom and teaching singing to people about loving themselves and being open about their Like, don't put yourself in boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of the things I'm doing. I'm working with Steve Bryan for the EDM song. I feel like the gay community needs a song now representing about, you know, needing someone in your life to make you feel safe. And yeah, that's the
what's the name of the Chinese artist you're working with?
It's Hush, H-U-S-H.
Oh, nice. I'm going to look for it.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't give you a lot of homework, did I?
Well, it's good because we like to get to know new artists. And when we talk about someone we don't know, we're going to look for the person.
Yeah.
That's why I started this podcast, to learn more about things that I don't know and artists that I don't know.
It's so beautiful. You help other people learn too along your journey. So you're doing such a good job. So thank you so much for having me part of this.
Oh, thank you for being part of this.
Yeah.
And let's go now to our last block of the podcast, the I Don't Know Her. In the I Don't Know Her block, we'll deconstruct the famous meme from Mariah Carey when she was asked about Jennifer Lopez by the reporter some months after Jennifer Lopez robbed a song from Mariah Carey.
Oh, yeah.
And she just said, I don't know her. Because, in fact, as Mariah herself said afterwards, she was like pressured to talk about something about Jennifer Lopez, and she was just like, I really don't know Jennifer Lopez. I don't know what part she took in the entire process of using my music, so I don't want to talk anything about her because I don't know her, in fact. So
it's not I don't know her as in I'd never heard of her, is I don't know her and like I don't actually know who they are.
Exactly. I don't know her. Exactly. So she even said another time that if she wants to talk to me, she can come and present herself and we can talk.
Yeah.
So in fact, we want to pop some bubbles and let people know some artists or some works that may be underground or may not be known by most people and that they should discover. So this is our recommendations of some underground artists. And I'm going to ask Wills, what is your I Don't Know Her to people? So what artist or work that you think people should know more about?
Elder Brooke is... Wait, does it have to be a girl? There's an artist called Elder Brook, and ELDERBROOK. This is this guy that's makes like electronic kind of sounds, and he's such a, like, I love his voice. It makes me feel like I'm in a little bubble of like happiness, like so. Mm-hmm. That's my artist that I am.
He's cute.
Huh? Yeah.
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 He's really cute.
Yes. Well, I actually thought that too when I first saw him. I was like, damn, he's cute. Yeah, he's cute. You read my mind. You read my mind. Whoops. Yeah.
I just Googled him, so.
Yeah. I'm Googling him now too. I'm like, oh my God, he's so cute. I'm fantasizing. But wait, you guys have to look at this. So Elder Brook, he has a song called Something About You. Go look up the video on YouTube. It is so sweet. It touches the topic about toxic masculinity in a very sweet way.
Oh, whoa. Nice.
Yeah.
Definitely check it.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah.
Great. How about you, Babs?
I've been listening to Tash Sultana, and she has great stuff. And like, it sometimes sounds a little bit like Billie Eilish, but it has a lot of different other sounds. So I think it's a nice artist to hear. Tash as in T-A-S-H. Sultana as in the grape, the dried grape.
Yeah.
There's also Phineas, he's really great. But I just got to know an artist recently that I really loved. And it's because my sister sometimes listens to, let's see, the top 50 or the top 10 songs in Middle East or, you know, in different parts of the world. And there's a Lebanese artist called Nancy Ajram, and she's really like an amazing singer. She has great stuff, great songs. And if you look at the translations, it's like just the kind of sweet, heartfelt things that we like in music in general. So yeah. I would definitely look for it just to, you know, get to know someone new.
Great tips. So I have my I Don't Know Her. I collect vinyls and I like to buy my favorite albums in a vinyl format. And I was chasing for a specific album that I really love from an artist called Emily King. Have you heard about her, Wills?
I have, I
liked this album that is called Distance, and I bought in a vinyl format, and it arrived. And it's nice to have a physical album because you can read about the technical people involved and see the lyrics and see the composers. Yeah. And when I received the album, I discovered that she plays every single instrument, and she wrote single song, and she did every single background voice, and not even that, but she recorded the album in her own apartment. So she basically did the album alone by herself. She did everything, and it's great because the music are great, and the quality of the music are amazing. There are super super deep lyrics about relationships and human interactions and living in communities. So it's a great album, and I love it even more right now, knowing that she's the mastermind behind it all. So I really recommend Emily King, Distance. So, guys, thank you so much for this episode. I really, really, really loved to have you here, Wills. Thank you so much for accepting. Thank you so much for taking your time and using your precious voice to talk to us.
Thank you so much. I'm going to miss you guys. Love you.
I'm going to miss you too.
Oh, I love it too.
And we'll be following you closely, and we'll wait for your lyrics to put on the internet, okay? So don't be a stranger.
Okay, you do the same. Okay, Bob's, I'm going to see a picture after this, though. I want to see a healthy hair color, so...
Yeah. I'm looking for you right now because I got to know you this week.
Hey Wills.
Yeah.
Okay. I got to know you this week when Leandro talked to me about the podcast. And it was just like the whole week listening to you, like, on repeat and reading about it.